Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're good on Tuesday, July the 29th. Thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast. Coming up, the cost of living crisis in Medway comes under the spotlight. A TV star helps to celebrate a very big birthday and fans turn out to congratulate the Lionesses on their Euros win. But first, our top story today is that private security guards have been brought in to help tackle antisocial behaviour in Herne Bay. A company called Acon has been given a six-week contract to support council enforcement teams and police. It's costing £8,500 and comes after concerns about gangs of young people terrorising the town. Well, Dan Bishner joins me now with more on this story. Dan, thanks ever so much for being on the podcast. Can you just remind us what's been going on in the town?
Yes, so there have been regular reports in recent weeks of antisocial behaviour, with residents even describing groups of youngsters as wannabe gangsters. We've previously been told how they've been gathering in large groups, intimidating local people and leaving some residents not wanting to go out.
And there was a public meeting recently. What issues were raised?
Well, hundreds of residents gathered to tell police and local authority bosses exactly how they were feeling. One business owner said her guests had suffered xenophobic and racist attacks. There was also a lot of concern as to how the nuisance was affecting tourism in the town. The meeting was also told that children as young as 13 were gathering in groups, with many wearing black tracksuits and their faces covered.
So tell us a bit more about Acon then and what powers they have.
So as you said at the start, they're a private security firm, but this particular project has been funded by the Kent Police and Crime Commissioner's Office. They'll provide 50 hours a week of extra community support, alongside work being done by the police and council enforcement teams. Two security guards will work 5 days a week. They won't be able to arrest anyone, but can report crime straight to police and help gather intelligence.
And Dan, we've been in touch with the district commander for Canterbury. What's he had to say?
Well, Paul Stoner has told us that partnership working with other agencies is well established, and any initiative introduced by a partner organisation aimed at making an area safer will be supported appropriately. They've recently had dispersal orders in place in Herne Bay and add that being visible is the bedrock of Kent Police's neighbourhood policing model.
Dan, thank you ever so much. You can also read this story and have your say. Perhaps you live in Herne Bay, you've experienced some of the antisocial behaviour, or maybe you don't think the situation is as bad as it's being reported. We'd love to know your views. You can leave a comment at kentonline.co.uk. UK.
Kent Online News.
Elsewhere today, organisers of a free princess-themed event in Maidstone have been forced to cancel it due to council charges. Snow Princess Parties holds an annual parade in Brenchley Gardens where youngsters can meet their favourite fairy tale and Disney characters. But bosses say they're frustrated after learning they need to fork out in the region of £400 for licences. Maidstone Council say its policy on charging for events has not changed. A former care home in Lydd is being turned into accommodation for unaccompanied asylum seeking children. People living near Peacock House claim they weren't told about the plans until the site had been sold. Council bosses insist they're following requirements set out by central government. Police are hunting a man who exposed himself to a woman and her children near Tunbridge Wells. They were walking in a wooded area near St Paul's Church in Rustall when they were targeted last Thursday afternoon. The suspect is thought to be in his 40s. Officers are urging people in the area to check CCTV and doorbell footage. Now, plans to help families with the cost of living are due to be discussed later, as figures show 30% of children in Medway are currently living in poverty. The number of pupils eligible for free school meals has doubled in the last 9 years. Nearly 8,000 people in the towns are claiming universal credit or job seekers allowance, and 1 in 10 residents are in fuel poverty. Well, bosses are holding a meeting amid significant increases in demand for financial support services. Council leader Vince Maple has been speaking to Gabriel Morris from our colleagues at KMTV.
Cost of living crisis. I've spoken to a few charities in Medway. They still say it's really been felt, actually, if not more than ever. Medway Council, what can you do to help residents across the district?
So I'm really proud that since we took control of the council back in 2023, within our first 100 days, we brought forward a cost of living plan. And of course, we've updated that over the last 2 years. We're bringing the latest update of that forward to our cabinet meeting. Some of the stuff's been the same throughout, but we've made progress and change every single year, working often with our partners, both charities and the voluntary sector, but as well as the services we will offer. And there's some really good examples that we've had throughout those periods of time with the various iterations of our plan, where we've got examples where not only helping individuals out, but also saving taxpayers' money. There's been examples where, for example, people have come to us to access services, but actually we've been able to stop them perhaps getting evicted or having huge utility bills by some changes being made. So I'm really proud of the work that the team here does at Medway Council, helping our most vulnerable residents. And what I'd say to anybody is, if you are struggling, and we know there's still people struggling today, reach out, look at the cost of living plan. There'll be stuff in there to help you.
Are you going to be looking to try and do more things here locally in Medway?
Well, the plan's increased, and again, it's been updated as well. Again, working not just only with ourselves, but with our various One Medway partners to deliver support for people when they need it the most. And we're going into the summer holidays now for school kids. And again, we've got that extra additional support helped by the government. And actually, this year's payment has been really straightforward. Government didn't need lobbying like the previous Conservative government. And we know moving forward there'll be a change of focus, crisis and resilience funding. And we, of course, will be making the very best use of that as we move into the next financial year.
Kent Online reports.
At the news, and a Chatham man's been ordered to wear an alcohol abstinence tag after punching a female officer at Medway Police Station. Daryl Neeson carried out the attack after being taken into custody in March. The 35-year-old from Astor Drive on St Mary's Island has also been fined and ordered to do 50 hours of unpaid work. A court's heard how a woman stole alcoholic shots from B&M in Chatham, then sold them on to make money. Angela O'Leary was caught after police overheard a conversation and checked CCTV footage. The 41-year-old, who doesn't have a permanent address, admitted shoplifting and has been issued a fine. A care home in Sevenoaks is set to permanently shut after an inspection led to it being rated inadequate. Bosses at Gloucester House in Lansdowne Road say it'll close in early September due to ongoing challenges, including staffing issues and financial difficulties. The family of one resident say they only found out by word of mouth, but the care home insist residents, relatives and staff were all formally notified. A fraud investigation into a Tunbridge-based wedding videographer has been dropped following claims couples were left waiting years for footage. The boss of Wallflower Weddings, Sarah Stanton, came under fire last August after reports she'd failed to supply content as agreed. Well, Kent Police say there was insufficient evidence to prove she'd acted with dishonest intent. Now, we've been hearing how important it is to get children in Kent involved in the creative arts. The Gulbenkian in Canterbury is running a series of events over the next few months to encourage families to get involved in theatre. Lucy's been chatting to Artistic Director David Sefton.
The big summer thing we have is Boyne Festival, which is the weekend of the 23rd of August. We take over the campus for that weekend, and around 12,000 people come and join us for what is, I think I am right in saying, the biggest family event in Kent in terms of a summer festival.
In terms of kind of running all of these events, I mean, and the importance of the creative industry and especially getting kids involved in things like theatre, I mean, how important is that, and to have groups like you kind of working on that?
Oh, it's huge. And I should say that as alongside the programme, we also have a massive participation programme called Art 31. And we have a free youth theatre, which we work in collaboration with the National Theatre on their National Theatre Connections programme. So participation, obviously, we are a university, so we do a massive amount with students. But we also have an awful lot of things going on for young people. And it's right at the core of what we do is participation for young people and getting them involved. And with the shrinking offer in schools, more and more that provision it comes to those of us who sort of are able to run programs for kids and families, that kids are able to actually get hands-on arts experience, and it's massively important and is key to what we do.
Yeah, have you noticed that in recent years, the fact that perhaps there's less of a focus in education settings on creative subjects and, you know, drama and art and those kind of things is perhaps falling by the wayside a bit?
It is, and it's that myth that people are driven by having to get a science or kind of... It's, it, It's the myth that there aren't jobs in the creative industries, when in fact the creative industries directly and indirectly is one of the key employers, and having those creative skills is also a skill that even in the non-creative roles, it's really helpful to have. And especially, I mean, for us, because we're working a lot in new media and digital, the massive amount of jobs that didn't exist 20 years ago because the technology didn't exist. And a lot of those involve a mix of creative and non-creative skills. So, I mean, we're about to open a massive studio in Medway next year. And a lot of that will be about skills training and developing people into new roles. The great lie is that you by doing a creative degree or working on creativity, you can't get a job out of it. It's the facts that tell a very different story. We fight against that all the time, and we're constantly pointing out that the creative industries employ more than the every single supermarket and a lot of the major industries that people go on about a lot. The creative industry is actually what it sits above those statistically in your capacity to get a job. But that and education's kind of gone down that path. But you see signs that people are starting. There are signs in the new government that they understand that that's not entirely the case. So we live in hope.
Kent Online reports.
Plans for council homes on a disused site in Canterbury have been approved, despite claims the gardens won't be big enough. Canterbury City Council applied to build the mini estate on land once belonging to the now demolished Sturry Road Social Club last year. Green councillor Keith Bothwell says people will be crawling up the walls. The authorities say homes will be high quality and much needed. The owners of a former Gravesend pub that collapsed after a fire have been told to clean up and improve the site. The new inn on the corner of Milton Road and King Street was destroyed in the blaze in May 2022. The local council have now served a legal notice giving the people who own the listed building 3 months to take action. New pictures have emerged of rescue efforts after a Waitrose lorry crashed into a lake near Gravesend. The delivery vehicle veered off the road on Thamesway in Norfleet in the early hours of Saturday. We're told the driver wasn't injured, and you can see the images within the story on the website. An educational trust is planning to increase pupil numbers at two of their schools near Maidstone by improving the quality of the buildings. The Future School Trust runs the New Line Learning Academy and Tiger Primary School, which share a site off Boughton Lane in Lewes. They say a new performing arts wing, PE hall and extra classrooms will help boost admissions. Now, next today, one of the stars of TV's Neighbours has been in Kent to mark a very special birthday. Alan Fletcher, who played Dr. Carl Kennedy in the Aussie soap, visited Maplewood Court in Maidstone to meet resident Hilda House. She's just turned 100 and also got a card from the King. Henry Luck from our colleagues at KMTV has been speaking to Hilda's son, Michael House.
It's quite an amazing feat. She's the fourth one of six in her family to reach 100. Her sister died recently and she was 103. So they're a really quite incredible family, long livers, and it was no surprise to me that she made 100. I'm sure she's going to make 101 and possibly 102. So she's quite incredible. She's very well, nothing wrong with her. She's not, medically, she's completely sane and healthy. So she's going to carry on, and she's in a lovely home. She's well looked after and she's quite happy. That's the main thing. She's happy. She's safe.
And Hilda herself has been telling Henry how it feels to celebrate being 100.
I imagine you must be really happy to have your family and friends around for this special occasion.
Yes, my daughter and my son, both here, and lots of aunts. All their children. It's been a wonderful day.
What has been some of your favourite memories throughout your life? What were some of your best moments?
Used to have some lovely holidays. We had a caravan, went all over the coast and countryside in Spain and across there. We had some cruises as well. When it got too young to go by car, we had some good holidays, very good holidays.
What advice would you give to anyone who's looking to live a long, happy, life like you have? Any tips for reaching 100?
Well, I have a good life, good parents, happy family, yes. 6 children in the family, so I was I'm the last one, so I suppose I should be a bit lonely as time goes on, but I've still got one sister and a brother that come and see me. So I'm lucky for that.
You can see a video report from the day on the KMTV pages of Kent Online.
Kent Online News.
Events are being held at Tunbridge Castle to teach children about water safety. Kent Fire and Rescue Service are running activities and demonstrations to help families stay out of danger during the summer holidays. Anyone who wants to go needs to book a slot. There are plans to open Kent's biggest seaside sauna at Folkestone Harbour Arm. Bosses have teamed up with Sea Scrubs Sauna, which already runs the site in Whitstable. It'll be set up next to the boardwalk if an application is approved. And a new musical about one of Kent's most famous royal residents is coming to Hever Castle. An 1,800-seat covered theatre has been constructed in its grounds for Anne Boleyn the Musical, which will feature 35 actors from across the county. Each audience member will get their own personal headset, creating a 3D audio experience. It's on from this Saturday. That's August the 30th.
Kent Online Sports.
Starting off with football, and a victory parade has been taking place in London to celebrate the Lionesses winning the Women's Euros. Kent's Alessia Russo scored an equaliser in the final against Spain on Sunday night, taking the game to extra time and penalties. Well, crowds lined the Mall to see the squad before they lifted the trophy on a stage in front of Buckingham Palace. Following the action from their training camp in Holland, the Aylesford-based London City Lionesses, I've been chatting to MD Sarah Batters.
This is so good for women's football, and you know, we saw such a boost for the people following women's football after the first Euros, and to go and do it again, you know, we've had record viewer numbers, record attendances at this tournament, so it just shows that women's football is still growing, and we're about to step into the highest tier of that next season. So we're so excited looking at the fixtures. You know, we will be playing a lot of those Lionesses, not just the Lionesses, but a lot of the teams in Europe have a lot of players that play in the WSL. And also we're welcoming into our team a lot of those European players already this season. So we announced the signing of Daniel van der Donk from Holland, among others. So you'll be able to come and watch some of those stars from the Euros at London City Lionesses next season.
And it's not just about getting girls interested in playing, but getting spectators coming along. I mean, you're going to be really encouraging huge audiences, aren't you, with your games next season? You must be looking forward to that.
Really looking forward to it. Really looking forward to, we're known for having quite different and fun match days and taking that up another level in the WSL, inviting the fans from all the Premier League kind of women's clubs to our ground and at our match days is hugely exciting. And yes, we've done a lot of work this season. We have a lot of new signings that we will be definitely able to compete. And you should be able to watch some really wonderful women's football at Hayes Lane in Bromley next season.
We should probably mention, of course, you train in Aylesford and you have some fantastic facilities there, don't you? What difference has that made to you preparing for this season coming up?
Well, we just finished putting in our brand new hybrid pitch in Aylesford, which has undersoil heating and really it's a dream pitch. It's better than the one we play match days on, and it was really important that we put in those facilities to ensure the girls had the best, you know, training opportunity that they have, and also being in Aylesford in the site that we're at in nature, we're really lucky every day going to work and we're surrounded by trees and a lovely community, and that really helps as well, I think, with training, because the girls, that, you know, it's just calm. It's calm and focused.
And Gabriel Morris from our colleagues at KMTV has been chatting to Mark Fuller, who's the under-8s girls coach at Bearsted FC, where Alessia Russo started her career.
The inspiration for the girls is massive. It's to drive them and see their heroes playing on the football pitch, and then doing it themselves on the pitch is phenomenal. And being a dad and watching my little girl play football just inspires me to do it even more.
She's 7 years old, is that right?
She's seven.
Seven. Yes. So 10 years' time, Euros 2036. Think she'll be there?
I hope so. Fingers crossed. The way she's going at the moment, dedication, and she keeps on doing what she's doing, why not? She watches football non-stop at home, and she keeps me fit and is the inspiration to watch my little daughter play football. And hopefully, fingers crossed, if she keeps on doing what she's doing, she's going to make it into a women's team.
And Russo's no stranger, is she, to this club? She still comes back, doesn't she?
No, she's not a stranger. She's still here now and again, pops in. It's great to see. We're an Arsenal fan as well, so we get to see her at the Emirates as well. So we see her quite a bit.
Cricket now, and it's day one of Kent's County Championship match against Leicestershire at Canterbury. Grant Stewart is set to captain the side for the first time in his career. Meanwhile, Tawanda Muyai is back in the squad following an injection in his wrist. Kent currently sit bottom of Division 2 and are winless in their last eight. And finally, in tennis, Kent's Emma Raducanu has made it safely through to the second round of the Canadian Open. She beat Elena Gabriela Rousset in straight sets and will play American Peyton Stearns in her next game tomorrow. That's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok and Blue Sky. You can also get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk. Whilst you're on the site, you can also sign up to Kent Online Premium. That gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories. And if you use the promo code Nicola Everett, all one word at the checkout, you get £30 off the price of an annual subscription.
News you can trust. This is the Kent Online Podcast.